I'm leaving my camera on so you can see when I sit down.
Sounds good.
Kathy is literally sweeping.
I dropped a glass onto the floor and there's like,
oh no. Okay.
Everywhere and there's a cat running around and I want to step in it. So yeah. No, I don't normally sweep floor. A council committee meeting, not normal.
Hey, it's totally fine. I'm okay with it. This multitasking.
My fan and I just knocked it over. And then I heard crash and so did Zach.
Oh.
So he knew. I think that was.
Remember you saw on the recording is starting.
Oh. Cool. All right. So welcome everybody. This is the Finance and Governance Committee of the City of Sequoia. My name is Zach Edan. I'm the chair, and I have my two colleagues, Kathy Hogarty and Cynthia De La Trinas Johnson. We have three items tonight. All of them are discussion only. We'll go with 1A, monthly general fund update. Tony Cullerton, Deputy Finance Director.
Actually, if it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and take this one tonight because he has got the next item. So this is Vicki Carlson, Finance Director. Just wanted to do our regular monthly update on the general fund. So tonight we're going to be updating you on April general fund expenditures. So through the end of April, total expenditures were about $18.8 million. It is $1.66 million less than the allocated budget of $20.5 million. That's for the department expenditures. Department 20, which is transfers to our other funds, which covers transfers into our capital project funds and also transfers for our debt service payments, was $1.37 million. It's about $82,000 less than the allocated budget. And just as a reminder, the allocated budget is reflect year-to-date spending patterns from the prior year. And of course, last year we had the pandemic, so things might be a little bit skewed. So I just kind of want to remind everybody about that. All but one department is currently below budget, all except for the fire department. And we are going to be having a broader discussion on the fire department budget at an upcoming meeting. Some more information to come on fire. But even though other departments are under budget at this point in time, I do want to just bring to the table that there is starting to be some growing concern that some other departments have very, very tight budgets. If you remember, we did a very, very conservative budget in 2021 because of the pandemic, and we didn't know when our general fund revenues were going to start to come out of the pandemic. And so we have some very, very tight budgets. And I just want to kind of bring your attention to a couple of line items that we see are a little bit concerning. Insurance, which we have paid already. We don't have any more insurance bills to pay the rest of this year, but our insurance budget is about $84,000 over our budget. We got the premiums after the budget was adopted, so that came in higher. And then also utilities are at 68% of budget. And this is the end of April, so we have some concerns on the utility budget as well. With the Justice Center and two new fire stations coming online, I'm concerned that we're going to be out of utilities budget probably sometime in the third quarter. So again, right now, with the exception of the fire department, we don't have any budget departments that are, again, over budget per se, but just kind of want to start raising the concern that I am concerned. We're starting to see some trends. So we will continue to monitor departments very, very closely. And if we start to see some more concerns, we'll definitely bring this to the committee and keep you fully apprised of what's going on. Page 2 of the memo just talks a little bit about the fire department. So as of the end of April, the fire department was just under $300,000 over the allocated budget of $4.2 million. And again, we're going to have a broader discussion on the fire department budget. But at the last meeting, there was a question asked about fire department overtime because that's where the significant cost is right now. And so I provided a chart on the middle of page 2 of your packet that summarizes the overtime and major categories. The left-hand side of the chart is reimbursable overtime. So the good news is anytime you see a reimbursable overtime, it is a budget amendment, but we amend both the revenue and the expenditure. So there's no net effect. The net effect is zero on the general fund. And we have significantly more billable overtime than we have in the past for two main reasons. First of all, the COVID testing site. There was a lot of overtime incurred through the end of April. That's a little bit ongoing, that we expect that to taper off soon as the vaccine starts to ramp down. And then also the repeater malfunction that's at the mall. This is an ongoing issue. Started the middle of last year. We expected it to be 2 or 3 months. And it's still ongoing. So that has generated some reimbursable overtime as well. So about $185,000 through the end of April that's considered reimbursable. So we should receive revenue coming in to offset those costs. And then on the right-hand side is all of our unreimbursable overtime. And again, we have it lumped by major categories. So the biggest user of unreimbursable overtime is minimum staffing. And just as a reminder, during the pandemic, minimum staffing had gone down to 12 as part of a cost-saving measure for the fire department. And through negotiations with the IAFF, we had to go back to minimum staffing of 13 effective April 1st. So you're going to see minimum staffing increase. And again, there's other reasons for that increase. It's not just because we went back to 13, but there's been some additional leaves. And again, more information coming on fire at a later date. But I hope this table gives you the information you were looking for, just kind of summarizing where the overtime is being spent with fire. Page 3 of the info memo just gives you both a chart and a graphic on each department to budget to actuals. And then page 4 summarizes the same information, but broken down by type of expenditures, the top part being salaries and benefits, the bottom part being the operating expenses. And that's where you can start to see that insurance is over budget, and also the concern with utilities. And with that, that's the report, and I'll open it to any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Carlson. Questions, Kathy and then Cynthia. Go ahead, Kathy.
You're on mute.
I said, can you hear me with a fan on? And you couldn't hear me at all because, so I have a fan on. Can you hear me okay? Or do I need to turn it off? Okay, we're all good. All right, so my questions are, so we're going to have to address these two items because they just don't go away. They're not, we can't not have insurance or utilities. So, and they come out of the general fund, is that true?
They do come out of the general fund. And what we'll do is we'll be watching these line items very closely against other line items in the budget, because we could have, as the year progresses, we could have other categories that end up being below budget, which would then negate this over budget in this situation. And that's why I'm not waving the red flag at this point, then yes, we have a problem. But just looking at the trends, it is a little concerning. So we're going to be watching this very, very closely. So if we start to see other concerns, if we don't see under budgets and other lines, that's when we will have a concern that we will have to address the issue.
Okay, so two more questions with that. One is insurance and utilities both. Are we doing things like we've always done it with those two different line items?
From a budget perspective or from a usage perspective?
Well, yeah, we didn't change anything.
Well, with insurance, we didn't change anything. We get from our insurance providers, which is mostly WCIA, which is the liability insurance. That's our largest insurance cost. We get preliminary estimates from them, and that's what we build our budget off of. And then they go back, and as they fine-tune their operations, we get revised invoices from them. And with the insurance, it ended up being a little bit higher than their preliminary estimates. We do monitor that every year, and something we're going to be looking for that. We're not insuring something that we've gotten rid of. So we always review what we have insured for. We always review if there's a change that can be made to, you know, change our deductible to see if that will change the liability total cost. Again, we paid that in January, so there's nothing we can do for 2021. It's a sunk cost, but we always look at it for the future year. So if there's an adjustment we can make for 2022, we will do that. As for the utilities, I think really the big change there was we had three new facilities come online, the Justice Center and two fire stations. And they are larger facilities, and obviously the Justice Center is brand new, and so we had to make an estimate of what we thought the utilities would be, having they're not online. So all we could do is make an educated estimate based on what we knew at that time. And so this is something that we'll be looking at very closely once we see what the actual usage is. We might make a request for a budget amendment for 2022, because then we'll have a better track record for how much those utilities will actually cost.
So they're both seem like they might be ongoing from here out.
Yep.
Okay, that was my third question. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Kathy. Cynthia, comments, questions?
I don't have any questions. I think the questions Kathy asked were some along the lines of what I was thinking.
Sounds good. Thank you. So Ms. Carlson, you mentioned insurance, and I just want to make sure that I follow up a clarifying question. What type of insurance are we talking about when we say insurance?
It's property insurance, auto insurance, liability insurance, and liability insurance is by far the largest piece of our insurance that we pay for that.
Okay. And that's something that you're, because I was kind of looking at the memo, and the only thing that it kind of highlights is just the potential of the fire amendment or you know, the overtime. I didn't kind of glean on the two items that you're concerned about. So it looks like it's just something that you will, you know, kind of further look into it and see if that is more in line and maybe something will come up. Is that correct?
Yeah, we will continue to monitor each department individually and the general fund as a whole. And again, we hope that we'll have other categories within the general fund that come in under budget that would negate the overages in these two. But if they come in on budget, then we would have to do a budget amendment to offset those costs. So again, just want to communicating with the committee, keeping you fully apprised of what's going on. Just want to kind of put it out there that, you know, we do have some concerns, and so we're just watching these very, very closely.
I appreciate that. The other question I had was, you know, how the OT in the fire department is divided, I think, reimbursable and unreimbursable. So when we say reimbursable, those revenues come from where?
It depends. So the billable contractor overtime, that's whoever contracted with us to have the work done outside of normal business hours, so we bill them directly. The COVID testing site, I believe that reimbursement comes from, I believe it's King County. We do have a contract where we submit for reimbursement. And then the repeater malfunction, that has to do with the South Center area. So again, we bill directly to the mall for that particular reimbursement.
Got it. All right. That's all I have. Thank you. There is no other comments. We can move on to the second item. The fleet leasing discussion. Tony, pardon me, I think I'm going to butcher your last name, but I would appreciate if you could say it for me if I get it correctly.
Sure. Tony Cullerton, for the record, Deputy Finance Director. Thank you, Councilmember Aden. Let me share my screen and we will get moving.
Okay. I can see it.
I want to make sure I can move some slides too. Okay, thank you. I'd like to just share some information on a fleet project that Finance has been working on with Public Works. We've shared this with the admin team and we got a thumbs up on this. We also shared it with the Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee for informational purposes only. And so I'm bringing it to Finance and Governance Committee to bring you into the loop. Because down the road, in the near future, we will be coming to Council of the Whole and asking for a budget amendment. But the good news is that it's not going to be an increase. The budget amendment won't be an increase. It will be a reallocation of already approved funds, reallocating from department level within the general fund to non-departmental. And I'll get into that in just a little bit. So currently, let me make sure I'm getting everything. Okay, so the purpose of the project, sorry, I'm moving a little fast here, was to look at alternative ways to fund the fleet. The reason is that the general fund cannot sustain funding fleet in its current capacity. So currently, departments discuss their fleet needs with the fleet department. Requests are submitted to finance to determine and allocate the necessary budgetary contributions. Budgets are approved by council. The problem is that the general fund has experienced challenges with continuing to make their budgetary fleet contributions at its current level of service. And so as a result, the general fund in the past has taken what we call contribution holidays, meaning they don't make their full contributions. And the enterprise funds that generate their own revenues do continue with 100% of the contributions. So when we were looking at this project, here you can see some of the areas that we looked at. Tanya Taylor with the fleet department and I met with department heads during the last budget cycle to explore a variety of options. You can see a lot of them listed here. When we were going through this exercise, I had initially thought that the city would be able to recognize substantial savings by buying used vehicles. We don't put a lot of miles on our vehicle. But it turns out that because of the buying power that the city has by buying on the state contract, there really was not much savings in buying new versus buying off the market a used vehicle. Additionally, we cannot buy used vehicles on the state-wide contract. In talking with the department heads, there really is no interest in them cutting the size of their fleet. They really are reliant on and need all the pieces of equipment and vehicles that they have. And so what we've done is we've come up with an alternative way that we can continue to fund the fleet at its current level. And so the recommendations we're making is that we go with or look towards fleet leasing. We're not recommending any cuts in the department size fleet, as well as we're proposing an accounting change for the general fund to report fleet in non-departmental. So when we look at an equity lease versus a traditional lease, in a traditional lease, there is no ownership. The city would make lease payments and then we just walk away at the end of the lease. But in an equity lease, the city retains all rights of the ownership. And at the end of the lease, the city then sells the vehicles and receives the money. There is no mileage restriction, there's no time restriction, and no wear and tear penalties. So an equity lease is different than a traditional lease that I was familiar with when I first started looking at this. So currently, the total city's fleet is made up of about 351 vehicles and pieces of equipment. For this exercise, for this project, we are talking about standard fleet only. That's the fleet that's in the blue, 33%. So we're not jumping all in. That's what we're looking at now. And so what that looks like is that would be about 115 vehicles, PD non-patrol vehicles, and then the standard fleet, public works, parks and rec, pool vehicles, mayor's office, those types of vehicles. Now, we would not just dive all in. We're going to enter into the leasing as budget is approved. So, for example, in 2021, we have budgetary approval to purchase 9 vehicles. Instead of purchasing those 9, we would lease them. And then in 2022, the same. Instead of purchasing those vehicles, we would lease those. Now, if we continue with this process with the money we've been spending, we could replace the entire fleet, those 115 vehicles, you can see by 2025. So what's not included in this first go around is PD patrol vehicles and then the equipment, the mowers, the trailers, the forklifts, the tractors. The main benefit to why we're leasing is because it improves our cash flow. So the fleet fund balance traditionally has hovered around $4 million. By pursuing the leasing, we would be able to cut that amount in half, thus releasing those funds to be used elsewhere. There's also going to be savings in maintenance costs. We'd be paying for oil changes, but everything else with these lease vehicles, because they're new, would simply be warranty work, as well as we'd be better positioned for future needs, whatever that may be. For example, we may want to look at electric vehicles, where right now electrical vehicles are pretty expensive. The city doesn't drive a lot of miles, so there's not going to be big savings there. But, you know, 5 years down the road, new technology, things may change. We would be better positioned to move into electric vehicles instead of being dragged down because we had bought the vehicles and we need to keep them for 10 years. So we're just more nimble with that. So the reason this type of model works for Tukwila is because of the purchasing power. We would be able to purchase the vehicles new, lease them new at a low price. We have low miles, and so selling them on the secondary market, we would receive much higher value. Enterprise Fleet Leasing is the one that would be selling these, but we would receive significantly more money than if we held on to them for 10 plus years and then took them to auction. So I have a purchase example on the right here to kind of illustrate what it would look like. So for example, we would buy a Ford F-150 with the MSRP at about $40,000. Because of the city's purchasing price, we would get it at $29,000-$30,000. We would make payments on it for a couple of years. In talking to Enterprise Leasing, the secondary car market is it's hot now, is how they say it. And so we would be able to sell, we would not probably hold these vehicles for 5 to 7 years. We would sell them at the optimal time. So in this case, 2 years, okay? We would sell the vehicle for about $31,000. So the residual amount, the payoff amount is $17,000. Enterprise Fleet Leasing charges $500 fee per vehicle. And then taking into account the lease payments, we actually would come out $1,500 ahead. Now, this is just an example, and the purpose of this is to kind of get the mind to walk through how it works and why this model works for the city. So I did talk to three entities that are currently doing this. I actually spoke with them to talk about their resale value, the service that they get, the cash flows. Does it really pan out the way it's being sold to us or explained to us? There's also several other entities that are currently using the leasing program. And one thing I like about this is these are all local governmental entities. So these are like-type entities. So it is a fair comparison, and these are good people to talk with. One thing I like about this is that anytime we start something new or a new venture, you know, we want to ask, what is the risk? And in this case, the worst case scenario, if this does not work out, we're into it 5 years down the road and we don't like it, well, we simply would have the same vehicles that we would have had, that we would have bought anyway if we didn't get into this. So there's no change in the vehicles. Additionally, our exit strategy would be the same as how we entered this program. For example, when the vehicles come up at the end of their lease, we would sell the vehicles and we just would not lease anymore. We would take that money we have that we got from selling and then put that towards purchasing new. So we have an exit strategy if this does not look good down the road. The second piece of the ask is a change in accounting. What happens when the general fund, well, let me start by saying the fleet fund owns all the fleet, all the vehicles, all the equipment. But for the general fund, when the general fund allocates fleet budget at the department level, the departments assume ownership of those funds. And those funds accumulate and roll over from year to year, unlike any other budgetary item. What you're used to is at the end of the budget, what's not been spent goes back to the general fund, and you have to have new budget funds reappropriated. In this case, these funds roll over. Additionally, when we surplus vehicles, those funds are allocated back at the department level. We were talking before about the fund balance and fleet being around $4 million. Well, the departments that contribute to the fleet program also share in the an amount of interest. We allocate interest based on their contribution. So they get interest also applied to them. And as a consequence of this, it sets up an opportunity for what's known as fleet creep. Okay. And so what that looks like is a department will have budgetary authority to purchase an F-150. And so they contribute for 3 years. At that time they purchase, 3 years down the road, they say, well, we actually need an F-250. The marginal difference in price between an F-150 and an F-250 is only $15,000, and we have that much money in our department fund balance from fleet. So let's go ahead and do that. That expands the size of the fleet, okay? Another example, a department has a van, a 15-passenger van that is ready to be replaced. It's already paid off. The year is to replace it. So they go ahead and replace it. But then they say, let's not surplus our old van. It still runs fine. We just have to pay for maintenance. It's already paid off. And again, we can afford that out of our department. These are two examples of fleet creep and how the fleet continues to swell over time. This change in accounting principle would not only streamline the accounting, it also would help curb this type of problem. So when we compare leasing to how we have been operating, meaning we buy vehicles, hold on to them for a long period of time, there's really not big savings. The reason for that is because, remember, we're not reducing the level of service. We're not cutting fleet at all. We're still buying the same amount. The main benefit is the cash flow, okay? There are some other significant benefits at no additional cost, and there will be some savings as well. So with this recommendation, we believe this provides relief to the general fund. It consistently provides us with a way of getting new vehicles. It eliminates spikes in the fund balance. It does not reduce the size of our fleet. And if this works out down the road, I'd like to consider this model for PD patrol vehicles. So that's the end of the presentation. I will take questions.
Thank you. That's a very thorough presentation. Appreciate it. Kathy, do you have comments, questions?
Yeah, I didn't follow one part of this. I'm going to go back and find the page. It's page 13. It's the purchase example.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to go through this. The value is $40,000. We have the $29,000 purchasing power, but we don't purchase it. It looks like that we pay $500 a month for it for 2 years.
Yeah, I'm trying to share my screen also to get back there so everyone can see what we're talking about. I do know what you're talking about.
So what's in it for the Leasy Enterprise in this case? What's in it for them? We've paid $12,000 for a vehicle, and then we get to keep it?
Well, so we don't keep it. They own it. So let's say we go all in. We have 115 vehicles, and 2 years down the road, we don't want to do this anymore. Well, we need to pay off all those vehicles. So we don't just give them back and walk away from it. We've got these vehicles, we would pay them off and then give them back, sell them back to them, give them back, they sell it. So let's talk about this example. What's in it for the leasing companies? One, they make money by selling the vehicle. So they're going to get $500 every time we sell it. Additionally, they get a percentage of the size of our fleet. So it works out to be about 1.5% of the size of our fleet that they take in a monthly fee. And I can give a specific number down the road. But that's my understanding is they're taking a small percentage of this.
So shouldn't that be in here then, that there's another cost, it's the monthly fee?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
Yeah,
and I go forward, I will keep capture that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, and I'm starting to see that. So the thing is that at the end of the 2 years, hypothetically, we could give it back to them or we could buy it for them.
And the 2 years is an example. And the reason why we choose the 2 years is because right now the secondary car market, used cars cost quite a bit more. So we're not holding on to them for 5 years, 7 years. We're selling them at an optimal time that they have identified. They're actually in the secondary car market business. And so that's how they, so I'm going to say they're more experts in that. So it could be 2 years, it could be five. But yes, we sell at the optimal time. Then we, you know, use that money that we sell to fund future fleet lease payments.
Right, because we pay it off and then we've got that $1,500 extra. Yep.
Yes.
Okay, all right. And now I understand. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for the clarification there. I think that's good feedback to put forward in the presentation moving forward.
Thanks, Kathy. Cynthia, comments, questions?
I don't have any questions. Thank you, Tony, for your presentation.
Thank you.
I think leasing the model, you know, going to the model of leasing is a good idea. I'm just trying to understand the difference between the standard fleet. What vehicles are we, give me an example of a standard fleet. I mean, I understand the PD and we're not doing that right now. What sort of vehicles are that included on?
Yeah, parks and rec, public works, the mayor's office, as opposed to larger, large vehicles that are in parks and rec, as opposed to the PD fleet. So these are pool type vehicles.
I also appreciate your example of the numbers. And one of the things I was thinking was the current system that we have, and applying to it to say, okay, we bought a vehicle that's $40,000. What is our process or policy? At what time do we surplus it? Or that's just what year is it? I'm just curious, because at this leasing option, it says after 2 years, you have to get rid of it or sell it back to Enterprise. Enterprise will sell it and so forth.
Yeah. So right now, I believe our policy is 100,000 miles or 10 years is when we would then surplus.
Okay.
Vehicle.
I see. All right. Kathy, I see you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Yeah, that your question makes me think of a different question, and that is when I was reading this, it would be good to have a list of the fleet, what the existing fleet is that you're talking about. I know that when we've done other presentations, we've had a list of that.
We actually have that available. A list of our fleet, as well as, you know, we've talked about the 9 vehicles this year and 2 next year. We actually have isolated that and we have identified those.
Yeah, it'd be great if we could have that at some point. I think that'd be helpful for us to understand the whole scope of this.
So what we're talking about specifically is what are the vehicles slated to be replaced that we would lease instead of buy for 2021 and 2022?
Well, actually, what the fleet, we don't, you know, you think about us, we really don't know what's in the fleet. We get that whenever we sell something, we get a memo on it. But, you know, we don't know. So when we hear fleet, it's like, okay, fleet, but we don't know really exactly what that means.
Okay. So it sounds like you'd be interested in 2 things. One, let's take a look at what our entire fleet looks like. Just get a list of vehicles and equipment. Let's put some years on there, what department they're with, how long we've had them, okay? And number 2, let's also take a look at specifically what are the vehicles we're talking about for 21 and 2022. Okay, you got it. And so just to close the loop, I can get that pretty quick. So this week, how about that? And then I'll work with Laurel on that.
Yep.
Question for whoever knows the how to answer this. Should we just have it emailed to us, or what would be the process? Chair, do you have a...
Well, this is a discussion only item. So I assume you'll come back again with or what were your thoughts? Were you going to go straight to, or because this is just a discussion item. I don't know if we're, it does have recommendation, but I'm just don't know.
So the purpose of this discussion was to share the information with you, bring you into the loop as to what we've been talking about with the other committee, with the admin team. And I did mention that we are going to go to Council of the Whole, because I think we're going to ask for a budget amendment to reallocate those funds from the department level to Department 20.
Yeah, so are you going to come back here when or you want to go straight to the Committee of the Whole?
Well, I mean, if I had my druthers, I would go straight there. But I don't mind coming back.
Okay. Either way, whatever you wanted, I'm very supportive. I was just asking if you need to come back, or you can go straight to the Cal. So you don't have to answer it now, but if you have an answer, that's great. But if not, or I think I'm fine. I don't know if...
Okay. Well, yeah. I'd like to go straight to Council. And one thing, we've been working with Fleet Leasing, and they, you know, their representative, usually when we go to Council, he would come on board and give you a professional presentation and talk through that stuff. And I will make sure when we do that, we include the specific vehicles we're talking about, as well as something to show, a slide to show you all vehicles.
Okay. Ms. Carlson, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I just wanted to let you know that we would work with our city clerk and also Laurel Humphrey about the best process to bring this forward. It would involve an ordinance because it would be a budget amendment. And whether we come separately with this because we're not asking for additional funding, it's just a restructuring of our funding, or if we incorporate it into our year-end budget amendment. We'll talk through that process to see which would be best and come forward at that point with how we're going to bring this forward.
Sounds good. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Mr. Carlson. One C, discussion on 2020 budget amendment. I think it should be 21. So I asked this item, and one of the, I think I've talked about it a couple of times, maybe two different spaces. My concern was just having a different pieces of budget amendments, and kind of was curious if we can get a holistic view at the finance. And you know, I asked that, but I think that, you know, I wanted you to kind of chime in and see and have a discussion with the staff to figure out what is the best path forward in doing that. And what are some of the challenges, I guess, or the constraints, or so we set the expectations at in the beginning. So with that said, I would like the council members to chime in, and then after that, Ms. Carlson or whoever else wants to chime in. Kathy, you want to go first?
Yeah, I like something that you said, Zach, because, again, sometimes these are things that even after many years on the council, I sort of don't have it all put together. So I understand that a budget amendment is basically just adjusting both incoming and outgoing expenses for departments and truing up the budget. But what you said, Zach, made me think, how do you do that? Because everybody's coming in from all these different directions with their piece of that, Vicki. So how do you coordinate that?
So typically what we do is, because we only do one formal budget amendment every year, which always happens at the end of the year, we keep a running list throughout the year. So anytime something goes to the full council and we receive consensus for it, we just make a running list. And then the other thing we do is as we get towards the end of the year, we look to see if there's anything that needs to be adjusted from an accounting perspective, which may not have anything to do with requests that have come to council for approval of a grant or whatever. It's sometimes there's just truing up of beginning fund balances. So there's some accounting adjustments that need to be made. And then we compile the whole list and bring it forward to you at year end for formal approval. So it's really an informal process on our part at this point. And I do, if I could make a quick plug for the financial system that you approved last year, this new system is going to give us a lot more capabilities than we currently have. And one of the things that I would like to see happen in this new system is we will have the ability to track multiple, for lack of a better word, budget levels. And so we'll be able to create a report showing here is your adopted budget. And then we can actually add in columns to say, here's a budget that has been, a budget amendment that had been approved by consensus. So you'll actually have visibility to it on those reports. So you can kind of see a running total of your adopted budget, the changes, the revised budget as it currently stands. And then you'll have full visibility to that when we just come back at the end of the year for final approval. What I'd like to suggest, because you did ask this question, I've been giving this some thought, is we do the general fund update every month to this committee. And it would be very easy and also helpful to us is just to add a section where we just list what's already gone to council for consensus. And then you can just see a running total of it. It can be very informal, but I actually went through the council packets just this last week, and the vast majority of them are revenue backed. I mean, there was a couple of contracts for structural plan review. So we would increase both the revenue and the expenditure because when the structural review is done, whoever we're doing it for pays us for that service. There was a couple of grants that were accepted. Again, those are revenue backed. We did have the SST funds, the sales tax, the streamlined sales tax mitigation payments that were restored. Again, revenue back, we adjust both revenues and expenditures. The only two that at this point are not revenue backed is the BNSF alternate access study, which we'll be coming back to you with a plan on how to fund that. There were a variety of options given to you at the council meeting last time this was discussed. And then the two contracts for the fire advisory task force, which is up to $80,000. Everything else is revenue backed. But again, to your point, we can just add a section in our monthly report and just keep that running list. If that would be helpful.
Yeah, go ahead, Cynthia.
I guess that sounds fine to me, what Vicky's explaining, just in terms of like what my expectation would be is that at the end of the year, when we do get that list of amendments, nothing's new to us. Like we've been prepped, we've been talked to, we've been kept apprised of the things that will be at the end seeking a budget amendment for. And so that's just my expectation, is that at the end of the year, we get the list and nothing is really a surprise to us. These are all things that we've been tracking throughout the year.
Thank you, and I think I appreciate what you said, Scotland, about putting something on a monthly basis report out that you do. I guess the view that I was thinking was, is there a way to touch this at one time? I understand, I think our process is, approving it at one time. And I also get there are some constraints sometimes. There are certain things that can't wait at the timeline that's usually done. But, we need to know, I'll speak for myself. I would like to know that, each amendment that comes need to have a view on it. I think the way you put it was some of them are backed right, revenues, and some potentially are not, and they have different options that we need to kind of make decisions on. Personally, I think I would like to get some sort of, we don't have to do it, we don't have to talk about it, but some sort of a report electronically would work for me. Every time something is added, it's just an Excel sheet, it's updated and it's sent out. That would work for me, and I have that, and I can look at something that I did February or January, and then we're in November and we're looking at it. It just, you know, I don't know what number I'm working on, how much more have we approved it, how much are, to me, I think that view would be an ideal. But again, I understand if there are constraints, and I'm trying to work within the system that we have. I'm not trying to create an extra work that needs to occur. So with that said, I'm fine what you were just are suggesting earlier.
Okay. And I do think the new system is going to help everyone out on this, because we will have a lot more transparency and we'll be able to give you exactly what you're looking for, and be able to track it very easily in the new system.
Sounds good. Yeah. Go ahead, Kathy.
So are you asking that we have fewer times that we are actually being briefed on these budgets, amendments, or anything that comes up? Is that your expectation, or is this to add more touch points?
What I'm asking is, like, you know, if I give you an example, I think one of the things today, tonight, that we talked about was potential of amendment that might come, and we need to, you know, kind of talk about that. And that was the OT staffing in the fire department. We just talked about it. We didn't make any decisions. And, you know, that will roll in a later period of time as in one packet of approved amendments for that particular year. I just want to see something when I, you know, that's visible, that I don't want to go back to 3 or 4 meetings to figure out what we talked about in February or March, but something readily available that I can open and say, okay, here, we talked about it, this meeting, here was what the decision was, and it's visible to me. That's all I was kind of asking, just having a tally of what that looks like.
So like a summarize, you want to have that summarize so it doesn't come back, and we all need our memories refreshed because we're dealing with all this types of stuff. So this is something where you can keep track of it along the way. Is that what, is this, does that describe it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's something, I'm not sure what the best way to do that is, but it does seem like it would be good if we kept track of things along the way so that we can jump right back in on it. So I don't.
Yeah. Initially I was like, you know, I think I asked, I think Laurel and I think one thing she said was, you know, on the meeting minutes, she indicates on that. But I think you have to go through all these meeting minutes. Like, you know, if you want to do a search, a keyword search, budget amendment, you can. But I think that's just it takes a lot of time. But if you have some sort of a depository, a document, then it just kind of makes it my life easier. So that's what I was saying. Okay. So thank you, Ms. Carlson. Whatever you can do in that regard, much appreciated.
Yep. We can talk internally. We'll find out. We'll figure out a good way to keep you informed and provide you with what you're asking for.
Thank you. I think that's all we have. Are there any miscellaneous items? Okay, hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you. See you guys at 7:00.